Good morning. I made it. Oh, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. I'm just so excited that you're here. We're finishing up a series that we've been in for the last several weeks called The End Game. And it's really been a series where we're just talking about the point, the plan, the purpose that God has for each of our lives. And we've said from the very beginning that the big picture end game, the macro end game for followers of Christ is to love God and to love people, right? But we wanted to figure out and begin to talk about how do we do that in our own individual lives? You know, how do we live that, our faith out and fulfill the end game that God has for us as individuals? And so we've been just talking about some simple, practical things that we need to be doing in our lives in order to fulfill the end game that God has for us. The first one we talked about, just being love, right? To take this love that God has placed inside of us, this agape love, unconditional love, others first kind of love, and just to love people with that kind of love. To begin to think, who do I need to love with that kind of intensity and that kind of passion? That other first, unconditional kind of love. And then the next week we talked about being grateful, right? Just being grateful and have an attitude of gratitude for the blessings of God in our lives and the blessings of other people in our lives. And we talked about that if we are a grateful people, we will say it and we will share it. And then last week we talked about being kind, to express this love that God has called us to by being kind to one another. And the reason we're kind is because God was kind to us. It's through His kindness, not His wrath. It's through His kindness that leads us to repentance, that leads us to turn away from the things of the world and to turn to Him and to receive Him as our Lord and Savior. To be kind. To begin to be aware of the needs of people around us, right? Be able to show that you care. You have compassion for them, and you're willing to dare and just step into those messy situations and with the kindness of God and coming alongside of other people and being kind. And we talked about the greatest thing, the most kind thing that we can do as followers of Christ is to share Jesus with others. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about this last little simple principle that we need to make sure that we have in our lives in order to fulfill the end game, and it's be committed. Be committed. It's really the symbol of what these students did this morning. Being committed in their life and in their relationship with God to such a place that they're willing to be obedient to Him and follow Him in baptism, even if it's scary, right? Even if they're afraid what people will think about it. They have this commitment. And it's what God calls us to, that if we are going to be able to fulfill the end game, we got to be committed. We got to be committed. And so I want to talk to you about that commitment of baptism a little bit and how that leads us to living out this committed life to Him so that we can fulfill His end game. You know, when the first church started in Acts chapter 2, and Peter gave his great message, he gets to the end of that message, and in Acts 2:38 he says this, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You see, all throughout Scripture, the first thing people did after they made a decision to follow Jesus, all through the New Testament, the first thing he did was to be water baptized. And some of you were baptized as a child through infant baptism, and those experiences are incredibly meaningful. And I would never want to do anything to take away from those experiences, right? But all the baptisms in Scripture were post-decision. And that's why we believe in believers' baptism. And that's why we have baby and child dedications here at The Rock, but we baptize believers. We believe in believers' baptism. So I just thought I'd share with you three reasons that we baptize here, believe in believers' baptism. And the first one is this. We do baptisms to follow the example set by Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, it says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth. This is just at the beginning of his ministry. He came to Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." You see, Jesus was baptized, so we should be baptized. He was baptized to show us that it's important. You know, he gave us that example. And just as he was reminded of who he was, that, you know, that he was the Son of God, that, you know, that was loved and that God was well pleased with him, through water baptism, we too can discover our identity. We can hear those same words from our God, that I am loved and I am a child of God and he is pleased with me. We baptize and, you know, come out of that water a new creation in Christ. Matthew 28 then says, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so we believe in believer's baptism because Jesus was baptized and out of obedience to him to follow his example. The second thing is we do baptisms to demonstrate my changed life, to demonstrate a changed life. I mean, it's almost like you're taking off dirty garments, so to speak. Galatians 3:26 says it this way, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ." It's like putting on new clothes, Paul says. In 1 Peter 3, it says, that, by the way, is what baptism pictures for us. In baptism, we show that we have been saved from death and doom by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not because our bodies are washed clean by the water, but because in being baptized, we are turning to God and asking Him to cleanse our hearts from sin. We've come, you know, it's that old creation being raised up into a new creation in Christ, putting on the garments of Jesus, the clothes of Jesus, the attitude of Christ, the righteousness of Jesus. And then third, we do baptisms to declare the commitment publicly, to declare my commitment, your commitment publicly. We're not ashamed of the decision that we made. Some people think that faith is private and that decision might be a private one, but to live out our faith has to be done in the public. He calls us to be a light on a hill, to tell the world about our Jesus. Matthew 10 says this, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." We're not ashamed. We take courage and we're committed to that decision that we made. We follow Him in baptism. I always kind of give you the example of the wedding ring, right? When Kim and I got married, I put on a wedding ring. And this wedding ring is a symbol that we're married. And if I take that wedding ring off, you know, I'm still married, right? I'm still married. But this wedding ring is an outward example of an inward commitment that I've made to Kim. And that's what baptism is. It's an outward symbol, of an inward commitment that we've made to our God. So I want to encourage you today to choose to follow Jesus and to take that next step, whatever that is for you. So I wanted to ask each of you this question this morning. What does it mean for you to choose to follow Jesus? What is expected? I mean, this is important because following today, I think, it sometimes can be based on personal convenience instead of personal commitment, personal conviction. In the age of social media, where you can like and or unlike, follow or unfollow, right? I don't do too much on social media. I just kind of keep up with you guys. I kind of keep you, checking on you, make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. But I like Twitter the best. I call it the man's social media platform because it only allows 140 characters, right? It's only 140 characters. You understand why I say that? Just give me the headlines, right? Just give me the headlines. Get to the point. And what's cool is that just with one click, You can pick someone to follow, and then whatever's going on in their lives, you get to be a part of. But sometimes a person does too much, right? And they begin to blow up my Twitter feed. Some tweet and breathe, tweet and breathe, tweet and breathe. A lot of our students do that. They tweet and breathe, tweet and breathe. Students told me, though, that they can't see you when you unfollow them, right? I don't know if that's true. Maybe they were messing with me. And so if somebody's blowing up my Twitter feed, it's just one click, right, and they're gone, right? See you later. But listen, choosing to follow Jesus is totally different. It's totally different. We're going to sing a hymn here at the end of the service, an old faithful hymn called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. You remember that old hymn? I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. And as you sing that and you see those words, you begin to understand that God expects a little bit more. That following Jesus is not just something casual. It's not just click and unclick. It's something that's serious. There's a commitment that has to be made. I looked into the history of that old hymn, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, and it's a Christian hymn that originated in Assam, India. And the lyrics are based on the last words of an Assamese man who, along with his family, decided to follow Jesus Christ in the middle of the 19th century through the efforts of a Welsh missionary. This guy was called to renounce his faith by the village chief, and the convert declared, I have decided to follow Jesus. And in response to threats to his family, he continued, though no one joins me, I still will follow. And his wife was killed, and he was executed while singing, the cross before me, the world behind me. You see, this display of faith is reported to have led to the conversion of the chief and so many others throughout history in that village. It really takes the choice to follow Jesus to a different level. I mean, when we understand the cost or commitment to following Jesus, it's a commitment. So what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? Look at what Jesus said about choosing to follow Him in Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read several verses, so just kind of hang in there with me. Mark chapter 8, 27 through 38. Jesus and His disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, He asked them, who do people say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But Jesus said, what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about Him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. Peter, rebuking Jesus. That's our man Peter. But when Jesus turned and looked at His disciples, He rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, He said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And then He called the crowd to Him along with His disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when He comes to His Father's glory with the holy angels. It's a pretty powerful text. So what does that mean for you? We are all at different places in our spiritual journey of following Jesus. And I want to encourage you to really go after Jesus and take serious the commitment of following Him. To live passionately, full throttle, on purpose for Him. Because if you do, you're going to find out what real life is all about. Sometimes I think we...
Could you try again?
Yeah, I sure can. My buddy. Oh. Sorry. I think sometimes we think if we want to find life, we must, we must just live it up, right? That it's got to be all about me. But Jesus is saying, no, to have real life, abundant life, you have to choose to follow me and to live for me instead of yourself. He says, and in return, you will find eternal life. One of the verses that the students memorized this summer was Luke 9:23. It says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and to take up their cross daily and follow me. It's a daily choice. All of us taking the next step, whatever that means for you. Because listen, if you lose your life for His sake, you will find it. You will find it. So let me just quickly give you the kind of the steps of following Jesus, as I kind of work it out in my own mind. The first is the crowd, right? We come in here every Sunday and we just come and see. It's kind of like Peter when he was preaching, it's this huge crowd, and he said, just come and see who this Jesus is. And then that next step is connection, to come and join. And I personally want to give that invitation to all of you to come and to join us, to be a part of this church. But even more important, to join Jesus, to be a part of His family. And then it's commitment to come and to grow, to be a part of our discipleship life journey that we're on and that we're about to begin in this fall, to be a part of our life group ministry, our connect groups, the men's ministry, the women's ministry, to gather in smaller groups and begin to read God's Word together and pray together and allow His roots to go down deep inside of you. And then the next step is the core step, where you come and serve, where you serve on a team, where you volunteer, where you go out and help our points of passion that we're so passionate about, the ministries in our community. And then the last step is commissioned. I call it commissioned. It's to come and die. It's the next level where you say, God, I'm giving all of me to all of you. It really means that you become the priest or the minister of your house, of your home, of your workplace, on your campus, where you see every opportunity as an opportunity to help people prepare for the life to come, where you surrender all to Him. You choose to follow, to take that next step, to go from just Him being your Savior to Him being your Lord, your everything. And I so want that for all of us here. I so want that for you. And I want to this morning to help you, to help teach you the art of dying well. The art of dying well. So that we can live like we're dying and we can love like we are forgiven. And we can begin to live a positive legacy to people around us. Because that's really what it's all about. That's what the commitment, being committed, is all about. And so how do we live this committed life? How do we live this, crucified life, this committed life? The first thing, Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I die every day. And so here's what the committed life looks like. The first is that we have to die daily to self. And what does that mean? To come and to die to ourselves. Well, it means not to think that we're the boss or we're in charge or we know what's best for us, but to say that there's a Creator God who made me and I want to yield to His purposes for my life, to give up having to be in the driver's seat, to give up having to get my way all the time, to be in charge, to having to be happy all the time, to being comfortable, understood, and first. You have to die to self and let Him have total control of your life. It's where I die to my plan, my will, and I surrender to His plan, His will, His purpose that will lead to this powerful, abundant living. And Paul knew that there was a tendency to get pulled back to that old way of living. And so that's why he said, I die every day. You know, it's to say yes to Jesus and no to Satan, to take all of me, God. I give it all to you. And I've shared this with you before. Every day I have this attitude check, right? I get to a place where I have to have an attitude check. And so I just pray and ask God to produce His fruit in me. And I kind of just go through my whole makeup, right? I start with my mind, right? And I say, God, help me to take captive every thought that comes into my mind. Help me to think of only on those things that are true and right and noble and pure and lovely and admirable and worthy and excellent and worthy of Your praise. And then I go to my eyes. And I say, God, put a guard over my eyes so that I don't lust against You and against others. And then I go to my mouth. And I say, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to You. God, let no unwholesome talk, Ephesians 4:29, come out of my mouth except what encourages and builds other people up, especially those that are in the body of believers. And then my ears. And I say, God, I'm going to hear some things. Let me be able to listen to Your voice. Turn away from the voice and the distractions of the world. May I hear You when You say, this is the way. Walk in it. And then my hands. I just pray, God, let them do good to people today. And my feet. Take me to places, God, that You want me to go. You say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God, give me those divine appointments. And I'll be honest with you. That prayer seems to only be good for about 24 hours. And then I have to get down again on my face and pray again. And this is what I'm learning, is that a man on his face, a person on his face, can't fall. And so what would your life look like if you started that way each day? You probably wouldn't come into the kitchen barking orders, right? You would be love, you would be grateful, you would be kind because of your commitment to Him. I've shared this with you before. One of my favorite movies, 1980 movie called Dead Man Walking with Sean Penn. It's about a man on death row, and the minister that was there with him on that final journey to the electric chair. It's this picture of them walking down the hallway, and they would go through different doors, and they would shut behind them and just shut behind them, right? And then they would walk through a row of jail cells where prisoners could see them. And when they would walk into that door and it would close behind them, the officer would say, "Dead man walking, dead man walking." And they'd walk past all those people, and then they'd go through a door and ka-chish. And he'd say, "Dead man walking, dead man walking." And as I've thought about that movie over the years, I think that's what we are, right? That's what we should be. I'm a dead man walking, and the life of Christ is in me. He's going to be the power source of my life. That I'm going to die daily to self so that I won't miss the abundant life that Jesus wants for me. You must be a person that people would say, he's a dead man, a dead woman walking, totally yielded to God's power, to His plan, to His end game, to His wisdom, to His leading, to His controlling, to His purpose, to His name, to His agenda, to His kingdom. You have to die daily to self. That committed life also looks like this. You have to die daily to sin, to my passions and desires of the flesh. You know, the world tells us, trust your desires, trust your passions, trust your feelings, right? It's who you are. It's who you are. No, no, no. You don't have to accept your passions and desires as your predisposition and orientation. The world tells you, that's just who you are. So go with it. It's your orientation. No. No. I don't live by my feelings, right? I don't live by my desires. I mean, I couldn't be a pastor if I lived by my feelings, because I got some desires that go against God's word. And to say that I'm going to live by my feelings because that's just who I am, no. I'm going to live according to God's word. I'm going to die daily to my sins, my desires, my passions. I'm going to live by choices, not by feelings. I'm going to live by principles, not by pressure. By purpose and not by passions. To live out your convictions, your commitment that comes from God's word. And that's hard. That's not easy to do. But there's freedom on the other side of that. And so listen, start low every day. Follow God's word. Die to the lie that there is a sinful lifestyle out there that's going to meet the needs of your heart. It's not just a, you know, what somebody says. It's not just a sermon that says don't sin anymore. How many of you think you could do without another stop sinning message? Anybody? Don't cheat. Don't lie. Don't have sex before you're married. Listen, we need less stop sinning messages and more start dying messages. To yield your life to God and start dying to the lie of sin. I tell this to the students, you know, it might be you waking up every morning and having a friend call you on the phone, right, and say, "Hey, Monty, you're a dead man walking," right? Or you walk into the lunchroom or into the workplace and you say, "I'm a dead man walking." Or when you go out on a date, right, and she opens the door, you say, "Hey, I'm a dead man walking." Listen, you might not make many friends or have many dates, right? You'd probably be pretty lonely. But that's the mentality that God is calling us to. That's the commitment that He's calling us for. To every day to say, "God, I want to be dead to the lie of sin. God, I want to be dead to the voice that says that there's life outside of Jesus Christ. And so, God, I'm going to commit to You that I'm going to die daily to self and I'm going to die daily to sin. And then third, I'm going to die daily to serve." Listen, God wants us to win the world, the whole world, to Jesus. To give your life in service to Him. And for some of you, that might mean full-time ministry, right? That might mean the mission field. But for all of us, it means to lead our family, our workplace, our campuses, this city, to Jesus. To tell others that God loves them and wants to be in a relationship with them. To share with people His purposes, His promises, and the powerful, abundant life that comes from death. So how about you? Are you ready to choose to follow Jesus? By saying, "You are the Son of God who gave everything to me. God, everything I have, I surrender to You. I will die daily to sin and to self and to serve, because I believe that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that there's power, that powerful living comes through death." Jesus, through the story of the gospel, says, "I love You unconditionally. You matter to Me. No matter who you are, I forgive you no matter what you've done. And I have the authority," He says, "to say, come follow Me. Come commit your life to Me. And I will lead you to real life, abundant life, eternal life. I will fulfill My end game in and through you. Will you commit to following Me?" Jesus says. What is your response to Him? Pray with me, please. Every head bowed. I just encourage you to close your eyes so none of the distractions around you or none of the distractions that's going on in your world, in your life right now, that you would just kind of push those out. And that you would draw this circle around you so that you and God can continue to speak to you through this moment. Listen, I don't know where you are on your journey. Maybe today you walked in here or you're listening online, you've experienced the testimony of these students getting baptized as a symbol of their commitment to their God and to their Jesus. And through that and through His Word, God is pulling and tugging at your heart, at your soul. And He's saying to you, will you just say yes to me? Would you be willing to die to your sin and to yourself and to your stuff and so that I can raise you up to serve me and to fulfill the end game, the purpose and the plan I have for you? And so if you're here and you've never said yes to Him, you've never invited Him in to be your Lord and Savior, don't miss this opportunity. Right where you are, right now, just say, God, I believe that You are my Creator. I believe that Jesus is Your Son. So I confess to You my sins, my mess ups, and I ask You to come in and bring Your forgiveness. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Right now, will you just surrender yourself to Him? Listen, if that's the prayer of your heart this morning, you can have the assurance that right now you are His child, that you are loved, that He is pleased with you, that He has an end game for you, a plan, a purpose for you. And He wants to begin to produce that and to transform you into that starting right now. Listen, most of us in this room, in the circles that we have drawn, as we talk to our God, we know Him as Savior. And maybe we've even known Him as our Lord and, you know, have placed Him on the throne of our lives at times in our lives. But maybe this morning you know that you've kind of put self back up on the throne, and today His Word, His testimony is saying to you, will you choose to follow Me? Will you really commit to Me and allow Me to be your Lord? In every area of your life. And so right there, what are the sins that you need to die to so that you can live for Him? What is the selfishness that's inside of you that you need to let go of and to die to? So that you can live out His agenda, His plan, His end game. Will you give your life to Him right now, right here in this place? Say, I surrender all. God, I commit to You, to serve You in every area of my life. Help me to wake up every morning and die to self and sin and stuff so that I can serve you, O God. Father, as we begin this new season here at the Rock and in this community, where we come out of a summer, God, where you have just shown up and blessed us so much and have called so many of us into a right relationship with you, a stronger relationship, a better commitment to you, God. Would you allow us to step into this new season, this new school year? As we step out of these doors, God, would you begin to use us? Would you fulfill your end game in us, Father? Would you help us to be your love and to be a people of gratitude, Father, to be kind to those who are around us that need you so much, no matter who they are? Father, would you give us a heart that doesn't need anything in return but just wants to give our life away to you? Oh, Father, do your work in us. Change us. Transform us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.